And this is the last several weeks we've been in this passage, but we're bringing different messages out of 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16. We need to begin reading in verse number 14 to get the place where Paul is writing to Timothy and telling him why he's saying these things. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14, he says, "These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly." I'm writing this letter, but I'm going to try to get there and see you in person. "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." He's not talking about going to Sunday school and going to church on Sunday. He's talking about walking in the presence of God in this world, as the Lord's eyes are upon you. Now, verse 16 is our verse we've been looking at. "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness." And he lists six things that are great in the mystery of godliness, and we've been going through these things one at a time. Number one, God was manifest in the flesh. That's the incarnation. Number two, justified in the Spirit. Jesus Christ was vindicated by the Spirit. Seen of angels. And we saw that the angels had never seen God until God was manifest in the flesh. And then it says, and this is our subject for today, preached unto the Gentiles. That's got a lot of information and a lot of story behind it that it's going to be hard to get a lot of it in. You're going to have to help me by studying it out yourself, but I'll try to help you as I open up as much as I can to you in our time allotted. "Preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory." So he says that's the great mystery of godliness. What is the mystery of godliness? It's Jesus Christ. It's God manifesting himself in human form. I want you to notice that the angels had to receive it by seeing, seen of angels, but the Gentiles and the nations received it by preaching. But that's not exclusive. The Bible says which things the angels desire to look into unto is in 1 Peter 1:12, but in Ephesians chapter 3, we find that the apostle says in verse number 8, "Unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." Verse 10, "To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places," that's the angels, that's all the angelic beings, "might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God." So the angels desire to see these things. Jesus Christ was seen of angels when he was born in Bethlehem. But they also attend to the preaching of the word according to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 10. Now, also the nations, the Gentiles, they receive it not only by preaching unto the Gentiles, but also by seeing. John chapter 6 and verse 40, "He that seeth the Son and believeth on him hath life." You say, "Well, I can't see the Son. He lived many years before me." But even if you lived in his time, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16 tell you, "Henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet henceforth know we him no more." So we're not talking about seeing Jesus. We're talking about faith evidences things not seen. That is a belief in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe on him. We see the Son. Also, we understand in Romans 10 and 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the Gentiles, the nations, he that seeth the Son and believeth on him, and in faith cometh by hearing. So they see and hear. The angels saw God for the first time. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God after the angel that announced his birth said that there was born unto them this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. All the angels came to look upon him. But, as we said in Ephesians 3:10, they also listen in on the preaching of the Word of God. So seeing and hearing are attributed both to angels and to the nations. And I want you to notice that the key in verse 16 of 1 Timothy chapter 3 is manifest in the flesh. Every one of these things happened only after and because Jesus Christ, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit was seen in him. He was manifest in the flesh. He is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 9. Now, what about preached unto the Gentiles? Go with me to Galatians. And you really need to study the book of Galatians to understand this one little phrase, preached unto the Gentiles. Galatians chapter 3, we'll begin with verse number 22. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. We were in a holding pattern until faith was revealed, and the faith that was once delivered to the saints after the time of Pentecost. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. It was not in vain. We were not wasting our time. The law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. No man is justified by the law, not a single one. Everyone that is justified in the sight of God is justified by faith. Verse number 25 of Galatians 3. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as has been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now I want you to listen to this. This is verses 28 and 29 of Galatians chapter 3. How do we understand Jew and Gentile? Listen, Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew nor Greek, which is a Gentile. There is neither bond nor free. It's not that you are in bondage and servitude, bought and paid for as a slave or free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. All of those things have been taken down. All of those things have been removed. They are not those things which define us anymore in Christ. Listen, how do we see people that are in Christ? Verse 29, for if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed. Did you get that? Dear soul, the harlot church is so ignorant and so dumb, and we have been so brainwashed into erroneous thinking about Jews and Gentiles and Israel and all of that sort of stuff. Dear soul, it tells you plainly, if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. Look with me to Romans chapter 2. The book of Romans chapter 2. I hope it is. Verse number 28. It is. Thank the Lord. Romans chapter 2 and verse 28. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Does that do away with all your stinking thinking? I hope it does. He is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. That's not the spiritual definition of circumcision. It's God cutting off sin from your heart and casting it away from you. That's what physical circumcision points at in pictures. Verse 28. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. Verse number 29, but he is a Jew. Verse 28 tells you who is not a Jew. Romans 2:29 tells you who is a Jew. You ready? But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. So we understand that Jesus Christ did not come, and God did not establish the law and bring forth Moses and all of that in order to bring forth Jews. He brought forth believers. And if ye are Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed. That's what it says. Now go with me to Ephesians again. The book of Ephesians, chapter number 3. Galatians, Ephesians, chapter number 3, and verse number 4. If we're going to find out who the Gentiles are, we got to find out how the mystery of godliness was manifest by being preached unto the Gentiles. We do need to find out who they are. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 4. Whereby, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. He said, I'm writing to you all that I know about the mystery of Christ. Let me make sure you understand what the word mystery is. A mystery, according to the scriptures, is a previously unknown truth that has been now revealed. The mystery of godliness. We don't know those things until we see God manifest in the flesh, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up unto glory. Listen, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 4, whereby when you read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men. That's the definition of a mystery. It was going to be, could not fail to come to pass. God would have it come to pass, but in other ages it was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. So when the Spirit came at Pentecost, he began to reveal these things, but they were not previously unknown, and we'll see some Old Testament verses that show you that. The Old Testament is just full of God saying he was going to save the Gentiles. Now, but until Christ was manifest in the flesh, there was not an apostle unto the Gentiles like the Apostle Paul. He said, Peter, you're called to minister to the Jews. I'm called to minister to the Gentiles. So one of the things that is the mystery of godliness, God manifest in the flesh, seen of angels, is that he was preached unto the Gentiles. That started happening when the Holy Ghost was given. Now, where were we? In Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 5, we read you that, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. What? That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Those verses right there, Ephesians chapter 3, verses 4 through 7, are very, very clear, and they set forth the understanding that God has always determined to do this, but he did not set it in order. He left it to be a mystery. He did talk about it. He did tell the old prophets that. We'll see some verses in Isaiah that made them to know that. But he only brought it to pass when God was manifest in the flesh. Only until Jesus Christ came and was born of a virgin and was sent forth was this brought forth and began to be revealed. While we're here in Ephesians chapter 3, look down at verse 8. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, this is the Apostle Paul writing to the people at Ephesus, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given? What? That I should preach unto the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Until the Apostle Paul was brought forth from being Saul of Tarsus, struck down by the Holy Spirit on the road to Damascus, and brought out into the Arabian desert for 3 years to unlearn all of his Judaistic legalism and brought to know Christ, dear soul, then this was not to be done. Preached unto the Gentiles. Peter had a hard time with it over there in the book of Acts when he was called to Cornelius' house. And the first thing he says, now I want y'all to know that it's unlawful for me to be here in the house of a Gentile. But God told me to come here. So Paul later says in the book of Galatians, I had to withstand Peter when he came down, when James and the brethren came down from Jerusalem. Peter used to eat with us and eat with me and the Gentiles. He'd eat a big old ham sandwich like the rest of us Gentile would. But then when James and the brothers came down from Jerusalem, he stood against us and said, I'm a Jew, I don't put up with Gentiles. And Paul said, I would withstood him to his face because that was going to do damage to the evangelistic width that God would have us to go in the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So he withstood Peter about that. Now, verse number 8, Ephesians 3. Unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Verse 9. And to make all see, the word men is not there, it's been added by the translators, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery. You're a Jew? Well, me and you can have fellowship if we both embrace Christ. He says, to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world, I want you to listen to this, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. God created everything by Jesus Christ, but he did not manifest everything at that time. It clearly says in Ephesians 3:9 that God has from the beginning of the world hid it, that there should be a preaching of the Gentiles. So just like the angels had never seen God until the birth of Jesus Christ, then the great mystery of godliness is not brought forth until God began to allow Peter and Paul, especially Paul, the minister unto the Gentiles, to preach unto the Gentiles. That began to happen as the Holy Ghost came. Until that time, it was hid in God. Verse 10, we've already read you. To the intent that now, unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. So it was God's eternal purpose that he purposed. And he says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Jesus Christ has given us faith and has made us see that there's neither Jew nor Gentile. There's neither servant or master. There's neither male nor female. But all are one in Jesus Christ. All of those different distinctions and differentiations that we just mentioned have been done away with in that we're all one in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not Jew or Gentile. Now, go with me to John chapter 10. You say, surely, if this, that is the way that it is, and it is the way that it is, surely there should be some mention of it from the lips of Jesus of Nazareth. Okay, fair enough. John chapter 10, verse number 14. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. it's not just you Jews standing in front of me. I've got other sheep, talking about the Gentiles, that I'm going to bring in. I'm the good shepherd. My Father loves me because I lay down my life for all the sheep. He understood what he was saying, that it was Jew and Gentile for whom he would die. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. You say my Bible reads one fold. I know that. That's the King James. But it's talking about one flock. There's only one flock. There's one head, Christ Jesus, and one body, all the ransomed church of God, whether Jew or Gentile, no matter who they might be. All right, we promised you, Isaiah chapter 11, that we would go back to the Old Testament and we would see where God had said in times past about the Gentiles coming in. Isaiah chapter 11 and verse number 10. Isaiah 11 and verse 10. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse. Do you know who that is? It's Christ. He's the root and offspring of David. In that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. Here we have Isaiah prophesying by the Holy Spirit. There is coming the Messiah, the root and offspring of Jesse, and to him shall the Gentiles seek, and that rest and peace and forgiveness from transgression and sin, and that bringing us together with God shall be a glorious rest. Isn't that good? Psalm says, rest in the Lord. Now go with me to Isaiah 42. That's just one verse, Isaiah 11:10. Now go to Isaiah 42, verse number 1. Behold my servant. We're going to find out he's talking about Jesus Christ. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. This is my only begotten Son, in whom I am well pleased, he said. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring justice and right and reveal truth to the Gentiles. That's the amplified reading of the rest of that verse. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. Now, unless you think, well, judgment, boy, he's going to judge them. He's going to really get to... That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about justice. It's talking about rightness, righteousness, truth. And he shall reveal truth to the Gentiles. Verse 2, he shall not cry, that is, call attention to himself. Love seeketh not her own. All these people in America today is talking about how great they are personally. They can't be of God, for love seeketh not its own. It says, he shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. Hey, y'all, look at me. I'm your hope. I'm going to be your Savior. That ain't what he said. Listen. A bruised reed shall he not break. I'm glad of that. Dear friend, I was such a sinner. You can admit this if you want to, before God and to yourself, in the privacy of where you're listening to this message. But I'm just going to say it out loud, and it's going to be on this video for however how long the video lasts, that Brother Gene is such a sinner that he was like a bruised reed. And dear soul, a man out duck hunting got on this big coat with the big pockets where he can put different things in, and if he knocks up against a reed there in that marshy land, if it's bruised, it breaks over. But Jesus Christ is going to be so gentle to us bruised reed sinners that he's not going to bring us any more harm. Isn't that good? Listen, A bruised reed, sinner, shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench. Flax doesn't burn like, you know, setting kindling on fire or setting a piece of paper on fire. It's just smoke. And it doesn't have that strength of fire. But even if you're that kind of sinner, smoking flax, shall he not quench? He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Dear soul, if you have any knowledge of the scriptures, you know that where we are in America today is called the Isles, I-L-S. Is that right? Yeah. I-S-L-E-S. I'll get it right in a minute. And the Isles, I-S-L-E-S, we're called the Isles Afar Off. That's what America is. The Isles Afar Off. He said, and the Isles shall wait for his law. Hundreds of years after the gospel started at Pentecost, it went from Jerusalem to Judea to Jericho to the uttermost part of the earth and came to us in the Isles Afar Off. So he says, my servant shall do that. He shall bring forth righteousness and justice to the Gentiles. Isaiah 42 and verse number 1. Go to Isaiah 49. And verse number 6. Isaiah 49 and verse number 6. And he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. You listening? I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles. You have been raised up for the tribes of Israel. That does not exclude, but in fact it does include, being a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. So here the Lord God speaking of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and saying, you will raise up all the tribes of Jacob. You shall raise up and restore the preserved of Israel, and that includes you being a light to the Gentiles. Look at verse 22. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will lift up my hand to the Gentiles and set up my standard to the people, and they shall bring thy sons in their arms, and their daughters shall be carried upon, and thy daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders. God's going to finish out evangelism in the Gentiles, and they're going to bring in all the posterity of the Jewish nation, that is the true spiritual Jewish nation, the church of the living God. That's what he's talking about. God said in Ephesians he's going to break down the middle wall of partition between them, and there's only one God and one people, one faith, one Lord, one baptism. And so the middle wall of partition will be broken down, and that will be done by the body of the Lord Jesus Christ as he gives himself on the cross. So we see that the scriptures, Old Testament, New Testament, God in one voice speaks of the Gentiles being brought in. And do you realize, dear soul, that Abraham was a Gentile? Go with me to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12 and verse number 1. Genesis chapter 12 and verse number 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, that's before he told him that his name would be called Abraham. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. Hebrews chapter 11 says Abraham's faith existed in, and the point of his faith was, the issue of his faith was that God told him to get away from everything that he knew and follow the Lord by faith. So this is the Lord speaking to Abram in the Ur of the Chaldees. Verse number 2, Genesis chapter 12. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. Did God make Abraham a great nation? You say, well, it's the nation of Israel. Not if you're talking about physical Israel. Dear soul, if you got enough sense to know that you're talking about spiritual Israel, okay. But in 1 Peter chapter 2, and verse number 9, it said, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, watch it now, and holy nation. This is God speaking through the Apostle Peter, saying that all the ransomed church of God is one holy nation, and that's what he was talking about to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, as he began to call him and call him out of his father's house to a place where he would show him. Go with me to Romans chapter 11. Abraham was a Gentile. So, dear soul, what we've been taught has not been full in its revelation to us. We've been taught that us Gentiles, were dogs, and we were without God and without hope in the world, was outside the covenant of Israel, and all that's true. But, dear soul, that's also true that where the Jews came from was from a Gentile. Abraham was that stock, that root, from which the tree and the nation of Israel came from. Go with me to Romans chapter 11. The book of Romans chapter 11. You need to study this whole passage. I don't have time to do it for you today on this. In Romans chapter 11, verse 1, I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. You say, well, see there, if he was of the tribe of Benjamin, then he was a Jew. That's not what it says. He says, I am an Israelite. You got to find out who Israel is, dear soul. We're not talking about the Israel that's over there in the Far East that's fighting that war in Gaza and all of that stuff that's going on. We're talking about, quote, the Israel of God, unquote. Galatians, what, 6:5 or 5:6? Look it up. The Israel of God, the spiritual Israel of God. And Paul says, I am an Israelite. That means I'm of the seed of Abraham. And if you are Christ's seed, you are the seed of Abraham. We read that to you. It says, and also of the tribe of Benjamin. That's included too. We don't exclude that. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. You better pay attention to that. God has not cast away his people, which he foreknew. And he foreknew Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all those guys long before there was the word Jew printed on the pages of your Bible. The word Jew and Jews does not begin to be printed on the pages of your Bible till you get to the book of Esther. And we understand and see that Abraham was referred to as Abraham of the Hebrews. Abraham, Genesis 39 and verse 14, and Hebrew, quote unquote. And dear soul, six generations before you have Abraham or Abram on the scene, you have six generations back that came to produce Abram was an ancestor named Eber, E-B-E-R. That word Eber is where the word Hebrew comes from. The word Eber, Abraham of the Ebers, it came to be said Abraham of the Hebrews in 1 Chronicles 5, verse 13, and 1 Chronicles 8, verse 22. So that same word Eber is where they got Abraham of the Hebrews. Abraham the Hebrew, Genesis 14, 13. Joseph and Hebrew, quote unquote, Genesis 39, 14. The midwives that delivered the children of Israel's babies were called Hebrew midwives, Exodus 1, 15 and 16. Only till you get to the book of Esther do you have the word Jew. So we understand, dear soul, that Abram was an Eber, and it came to be called an Hebrew. And as I said, it's translated Eber before, but then when you get to 1 Chronicles 5:13, it's translated Hebrew. So Abraham was a Hebrew. Joseph was said to be a Hebrew. That Hebrew you brought in among us, Potiphar's wife said. And the midwives delivered the children of Israel's babies. And Pharaoh, that the rose up a Pharaoh that knew not Joseph in the book of Exodus, he called them Hebrew midwives. So the Bible stamps the word Hebrews and Eber on Abraham generations before you ever come to the word Jew. So Abraham was a Gentile, and the stock of Abraham came to be, dear soul, that which the Jewish nation came from. And we understand and see, dear soul, that God began to bring the Jewish nation from a Gentile to begin with. But now it begins to be preached unto the Gentiles. But they think that it's terrible. We are the Jews. You shouldn't preach to anybody but us. But dear soul, if you will look in Acts chapter 2 and count how many different nations were represented at Pentecost, you will find out that there were 17 different nations represented at Pentecost. Understand, there were 17 different nations where the Jews had ran to flee from oppression. But those nations were going to be affected by these Jews at Pentecost going back to where they were from their homeland, and bringing that gospel with them. And God told them to preach the gospel to every creature. The nation of Egypt is mentioned in there. It's unbelievable how God did this. We think that, well, God started off with the Jews and then us old crummy Gentiles got in on it. No, God started off with Gentiles and the Jews got in on it. And then they got to the place, because this is a hidden mystery, and I read it to you. This thing which has been hidden from the beginning of the world has now become to be clearly seen. When was it clearly seen? When was he preached unto the Gentiles? When God was manifest in the flesh. God started his gospel and the mystery of godliness, and the angels first saw God there at the birth of Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ was manifest in the flesh, the angels saw him. When Jesus was manifest in the flesh, then the gospel began to be preached to the Gentiles. That's how God established it. That's the way that it was. Great is the mystery of godliness. God manifest in the flesh, seen of angels, he says, justified in the Spirit, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. He sums up the entirety of the mystery of godliness by beginning with Jesus Christ being born in Bethlehem, manifest in the flesh. That's what began it all. So we understand and see that that did not exclude, but in fact it did include him being preached unto the Gentiles, and it started out, dear soul, early in the Christian era by God bringing one Saul of Tarsus to the understanding that he has been called to go to the nations of the Gentiles. And I read that to you. And we saw it, dear soul, Galatians 3, 22 through 29, Ephesians 3, verses 4 through 6. Jesus said it in John chapter 10, verses 14 through 17. Another flock, another fold have I, and there shall be one flock, one fold. That's the way that it shall be. And he says in Romans chapter 11, listen, and I don't know where to start, there's just so much. For I speak to you Gentiles, this is Romans 11, 13, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office, if by any means I may provoke you to emulation, I may provoke to emulation, to jealousy, them which are of my flesh, and might save some of them. God had the apostle Paul to go to the Gentiles to make the Jews jealous and make them understand and see that God was going to save some of them. You need to underline those words in your heart, if not in your Bible, in Romans 11, 14. God's going to save some of them. And then it says that all Israel shall be saved in verse 26. Now, that bothered me for a long time because the preachers that I was under and the harlot church that I was under would not read me Romans 11, 14. Excuse me. God shall save some of them, some of the Jews. But, he says in verse 26, he's going to save all Israel, and so he shall. Some of the Jews and some of the Gentiles shall be put together to make up all Israel, spiritual Israel. I'm going to make of you, Abram, a holy nation, a nation. And I read you in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. It's a holy nation. It's the church, not an organism, but an Not an organization, but an organism. So God's going to bring forth all those that he hath ordained. God hath not cast off any of them whom he foreknew. All those who are elected in Christ from before the foundation of the world shall be saved without the loss of a single one. Now, go back with me to Romans 11, verse 14. He might save some of them. And he goes on and says, if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, he cast off the Jews that he might reconcile the Gentiles, the whole world. What shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy, and if the root be holy, so are the branches. So the root is Abraham, verse 17, Romans 11. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree, you Gentiles, were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and the fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. Don't do like the Jews are doing, boasting against the Gentiles. Don't you now turn around and boast against the Jews. Just understand that God is giving grace to us all. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root beareth you. You don't bear up the root, which is Abraham. He was of the Ur of the Chaldeans. He was a Gentile. And from him came the Jews. How did that happen? Dear soul, it happened in that God said in Deuteronomy, hold your place, Romans chapter 11. Go back to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. I either go too far beyond or too not far enough. Listen, Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse number 20. How did Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, and six generations before Abraham, get to be called Hebrews? And when will they get to be called the Jewish nation? As I said, the word Jews is not going to show up in your Bible except you get to the book of Esther, and Mordecai, the Jew, is going to tell Esther, who knows but for such a time of this hath God brought you forth. You got to go in there and offer up your life. If the king hadn't called you in, they're going to kill you if you go in there unless he lowers his scepter to you. And he says, you need to go in there and plead for the Jews, because Haman has determined to wipe out the Jewish nation. You think Hitler in World War I was the first one to try that? He wasn't. Haman was going to do it back there in the book of Esther. That's what it's all about. So that's when the word Jew came to be. Well, how did we go from the 12 brothers going into Egypt and then a nation coming out? Listen, Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse number 20. But the Lord hath taken you and brought you forth out of the iron furnace, even out of Egypt, to be unto him a people of inheritance, as ye are this day. The iron furnace, that's where the blacksmith put the metal into the fire, melted it down, beat on it with his hammer and anvil, and formed of them a nation. God did it in Egypt. And when they come out not as 12 different brothers, but they come out as the Jewish nation. So the Lord brings them forth from Abraham, who was the root, and then he broke some of them off because they rebelled against God. And Jesus said, I'm going to wipe you out as a man doth wipe out a plate. And your house, the synagogue, shall be left unto you desolate. Your house, the nation of Israel, shall be left unto you desolate. And Paul said, because you do not receive my gospel, we shake off the dust of our feet, and we turn unto the Gentiles. So it goes back to where it started, with the Gentiles. Again, Romans chapter 11, verse number 16. For if the first fruit be holy, Abraham, then the lump is holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. But if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree, Gentiles, were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not thyself, boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou boastest not the root, thou bearest not the root, but the root beareth thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, that's true. Verse 20. Because of unbelief, they were broken off. Individual branches were broken off. And thou standest by faith. So don't be high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches of the Jews, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold therefore both the goodness and the severity of God. On them which fail, broken off, you see God's severity. But unto thee, who are grafted in, you see God's goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shall be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. It is possible for a Jew to be born again and brought back in. Years and years and years ago, I used to listen every Saturday morning to Dr. Charles Haff, the Christian Jew. And he would say, this is the Christian Jew hour. He had a very distinct enunciation of that word, hour. And it was a delight to listen to a man who was a Jew preach Jesus Christ. So it says, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if thou were cut out of the olive tree which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive trees? I want to read verse 25, and I want you to listen to it. Reading Romans 11, 25. For I would not, brethren, talking to the Gentiles at Rome, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery. Great is the mystery of godliness, God manifest in the flesh, preached unto, seen of angels, and preached unto the Gentiles. I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits. Don't be conceited. Don't be high-minded like they were against you. Don't do that. That blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. God is going to leave Israel blind and break them off so there might be a place for you to be grafted in. And listen, but blindness in part has happened to Israel, physical. Literal Jewish Israel, that the Gentiles might come in until God has saved all that he will. Now, verse 26, and this is the only verse that used to be pressed on me and pushed on me, saying that God's going to save every Jew in the world. That's not what it says. In verse 14, it said God might save some of them. But then in verse number 26, and so all Israel shall be saved. But you've got to leave that with verse 25. Verse 25 says, blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Gentiles and Jews are going to make up all of Israel. Israel, according to this definition, is not a nation over in the east. There, over there near the Mediterranean and just above Syria. It's not talking about a state of latitude and longitude on the globe. It's talking about the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do I need to read it to you again? Romans chapter 2. Go back to Romans chapter 2, verse 28. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. That's not what God was talking about. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Read your Bible. Get out of this stinking thinking. Get this millennialism and all of this junk that we have been forced, fed all of these years out of your system, and understand and know that Paul says God has not cast off anybody whom he did foreknow. Who did he foreknow? Ephesians 1, 3, and 4. He has chosen us in Christ from before the foundation of the world. John chapter 15 and verse 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That's what Jesus said. We need to get this mess out of us. The reason that 1 Timothy 3:16 never did mean that much to me till now, God has shown me all these truths, is because I had all this junk, all these lies, all this half-truth forced on me by the harlot church that I grew up in. And now God has begun to, like he did the Apostle Paul, take me out in the desert and flush all that mess out of me and begin to show me the truth of the scriptures. Read your Bible. Thank God for his Holy Spirit. Now, Colossians chapter 1, the book of Colossians chapter 1, verse number 25. I don't think we've read this, have we? Colossians chapter 1, begin with verse 25. He says, whereof I am made a minister. He's talking about, well, let's read verse 24. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. It ain't talking about a denomination. We ain't talking about an organization. We're talking about an organism, the mysterious, mystical body of Christ, whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Verse number 26 of Colossians chapter 1. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. That word saints means every believer. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. I have no doubt that the majority of folks that I am preaching to are Gentiles. What is your hope of being glorified? Christ in you is the only hope you have of ever being glorified and standing eternally in the presence of Almighty God. So that's Colossians chapter 1, verse 25 through 27. Let's go back to Romans chapter 16, the last chapter in the book of Romans. Chapter 16, and read verse 25 through 27. Romans 16, 25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and that's what is happening in this video. God's now making it manifest to you. But now is made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. That's what he promised Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. That's what the Apostle Paul is writing about. And how can we not go to the book of Romans? Nope, forget Romans. The book of Revelation, chapter 5, our oft-read verse, Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9, and they sang a new song, saying, thou art worthy, singing to the Lamb of God, to take the book, and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, listen, out of every kindred and language and people and nation. There it is. It starts off in the book of Genesis. It's still being talked about in the book of the Revelation. It's continuously talked about. And dear soul, I don't have time. I wish I had more time. Romans chapter 3, verse 22 and 23. What is the commonality between Jews and Gentiles? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3, 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's no difference between a Jewish sinner and a Gentile sinner. There's no difference between a born-again Jew and a born-again Gentile. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's what they're commonly known in. And in Romans 10, verse 11, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever, Jew or Gentile, shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Listen, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 19. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses said, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. That's us Gentiles. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel, he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. What do the Jew and Gentiles have in common? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all need to get saved. We all need Christ. We all need redemption. And dear soul, Abraham was a Gentile. The Jews came forth out of the iron furnace, Deuteronomy 4, and was made into a nation. Then they turned their back on God, and Paul said, I wipe my feet of you Jews. I'm going to the Gentiles. And here it came back to us. And God said, y'all be careful. Same God is rich towards all. And the same God hates sin in Gentiles as much as does in Jews. You be careful. And don't spit on the Jews and do to them what they did to you. Thank God for his goodness. Great is the mystery of godliness when he was preached unto the Gentiles. Thank you for your attention. Thank you for your prayers. May God bless you. Amen.